Dr. Goldfarb, thanks for submitting your question to Ask Curie. This episode was created just for you based on your request about the latest advancements in rectal cancer treatment. Ask Curie is a personalized podcast experience where we take your most pressing medical questions and turn them into custom deep dives. Today, we'll explore how rectal cancer treatment is evolving, from non-operative management strategies to the growing role of immunotherapy and biomarker-driven care. We'll also discuss how these updates translate into clinical decision-making, ensuring that your patients receive the most effective and least invasive treatment possible. Rectal cancer remains a major challenge in oncology, both in terms of its prevalence and treatment complexity. In 2024, an estimated 40,000 new cases of rectal cancer will be diagnosed in the United States alone, contributing to over 53,000 combined deaths from colorectal cancer. Despite major advances, multimodal therapy remains the backbone of rectal cancer treatment. Surgery continues to be the primary approach for early stage disease, while stage 2 and 3 cases typically require neoadjuvant chemoradiation followed by surgery. For stage 4 cases, treatment is more complex, requiring a personalized mix of systemic therapy, surgical resection when feasible, and targeted approaches. One important concept in rectal cancer surgery is total mesorectal excision, the gold standard for achieving complete tumor removal with surrounding lymph nodes. And while radiation therapy has long been essential for local control, newer data suggests that in select patient populations, it may be possible to de-escalate therapy while maintaining efficacy. One of the most significant paradigm shifts in recent years is the growing role of non-operative management, or the watch and wait strategy. Instead of immediate surgery, some oncologists are now carefully selecting patients with complete clinical response, CCR, to chemo radiation and foregoing surgery entirely. This is particularly important for patients where bowel function preservation is a key concern. The potential to reduce permanent colostomies is a major quality of life benefit. However, the long-term safety of this approach is still being assessed. In patients with MSI-high or DMMR tumors, response rates to neoadjuvant therapy alone have been remarkably high, suggesting that biomarker-driven treatment decisions could shape the future of rectal cancer care. So the question is this approach ready for prime time? Some studies suggest that local recurrence rates in non-operative patients can range between 3.7% and 50%, depending on tumor grade, stage, and surgical margins. Among patients who undergo definitive resection, recurrence rates are typically under 10%. This means that watch and wait must be approached cautiously, ensuring only the right patients are selected. The role of immunotherapy in rectal cancer has been one of the most exciting developments in recent years. MSI-high tumors, which make up about 5% to 10% of rectal adenocarcinomas, have shown exceptional responses to checkpoint inhibitors such as dostarlimab, nivolumab, and pembrolizumab. In fact, some studies have suggested that MSI-high rectal cancer patients may not need radiation or chemotherapy at all, thanks to the remarkable response rates seen with immunotherapy. However, these findings are still early and long-term survival data is lacking. Beyond immunotherapy, targeted therapies continue to shape the treatment landscape. For example, BRAF mutant rectal cancer is now treated with encorafenib plus cetuximab, an approved combination therapy. HER2-positive rectal tumors may respond to trastuzumab-based regimens, though response rates vary. Anti-VEGF and anti-EGFR therapies remain key options in certain advanced disease settings. These developments highlight why molecular profiling is no longer optional. It's essential for determining the best treatment strategy. Traditionally, long-course chemoradiation, LCRT, has been the standard for locally advanced rectal cancer. However, the concept of short-course radiation therapy, SCRT, has been gaining traction. Instead of 5 to 6 weeks of therapy, SCRT involves a 5-day radiation regimen followed by delayed surgery. Why does this matter? Clinical trials suggest that SCRT followed by consolidation chemotherapy may lead to comparable oncologic outcomes to LCRT, with potential benefits in reducing treatment duration and toxicity. The decision between SCRT and LCRT depends on tumor characteristics and patient preferences. This is another example of how rectal cancer treatment is shifting toward personalized, patient-centered strategies, reducing toxicity where possible while maintaining efficacy. Dear Dr. Goldfarb, the days of a one-size-fits-all approach to rectal cancer are fading. As immunotherapy gains traction, surgical strategies evolve, and radiation protocols shift, the challenge remains, how do we integrate these advancements without overtreating or undertreating our patients? For oncologists today, key considerations include identifying patients who may be candidates for non-operative management, integrating molecular profiling into treatment selection, and reassessing when radiation can be safely omitted or de-escalated. Looking ahead, ongoing clinical trials will help define which patients benefit most from these novel strategies. But for now, one thing is clear. Rectal cancer treatment is becoming more precise, less invasive, and increasingly personalized. Dr. Goldfarb, thank you for submitting this topic. Your question reflects a critical debate in oncology today, and we hope this discussion provided clarity and new insights for your practice. If you found this helpful, come back to Curie for more in-depth discussions on cutting-edge medical advancements.